Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. In just a little while, we're going to tell you about a one-of-a-kind resource that will help you draw closer to Jesus. It's called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Season of Parenting.
Did you know that when you sin, God does not punish you? Because all the punishment that was paid for on the cross. And so God doesn't have to punish you because Jesus took that punishment. God does not punish, listen, God does not punish Christians for their sins. He does discipline them. And there's a big difference. The purpose of punishment is to inflict penalty. The purpose of discipline is to promote growth. Do you understand the difference? The purpose of punishment, the focus is toward the past, what you've done wrong. The purpose of discipline is the focus is toward the future, what you can be. The attitude behind punishment is anger. The attitude behind discipline is love. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to help you go in the right way. And God doesn't want you to punish your kids. He wants you to discipline them. In fact, when you correct in anger, it always produces one thing: resentment. Resentment. What God says to do is to correct, not looking at the past, but looking at the future. Let's make sure this doesn't get done the next time. Let's focus on the future. It's redemptive, not destructive. Now, the key to the difference many times between punishment and discipline is your attitude. Am I doing this in anger? If you're disciplining just to vent your feelings so you'll feel better, that's a good clue. It's not discipline, it's punishment. You're just letting off steam and you're retaliating and your irritation's gotten so high and now you're going to just justify that irritation by blowing up. And so the Bible says, notice the next, don't use harmful words, but only use helpful words that build up. He's saying here, you need to learn to correct without condemning. You need to learn to discipline without destroying. Now, before you turn the outline over, notice that I want to encourage you to do a little self-evaluation on each of these elements. 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high. First, compassion. How would you evaluate yourself on unconditional love? Would you say, you know, no, my love is totally based upon their performance. You'd give yourself a 1 or 10. I always love them unconditionally, which none of us do all the time. You give yourself a 10. Somewhere in between there, rate yourself. And then on counsel, how are you doing? Are you ever teaching your kids anything about what's right and what's wrong? Are you ever praying with them? Or are you ever encouraging them to read the Bible? Or if they're not old enough to read the Bible, reading to them? Do you take those teachable moments at any time of the day? Or are you leaving it up to the babysitter and the television to create their moral value system? And then correction. Have you learned how to correct without condemning? How to discipline without destroying? Rate yourself on those three. Now, number 4, if you look on the back of your outline, kids need not only compassion, counsel, and correction, but they need confidence.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
As Jesus made his way to Calvary on the road called the Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover and is filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us from our sins. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. This powerful resource makes a meaningful gift. It is only available through Daily Hope, and we'll send it to you when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. By the way, for the next 4 days, anything you donate to this ministry will be doubled by a very generous Daily Hope listener, up to $25,000. So please contact us today to let us know how you would like to help. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, number four, if you look on the back of your outline, kids need not only compassion, counsel, and correction, but they need confidence. They need confidence because the fact is, life is tougher today on kids than it's ever been before. Would you agree with this? You wouldn't want to be a kid growing up today, believe me. You wouldn't. Because of the pressures, the stress, the pace, the value systems, the expectations on kids are enormously greater than they were even just a generation ago. And that generation, it was greater than the generation before. And our world is tough on kids' self-esteem. In fact, listen to this. In California, educators discovered through national testing or state testing that related to self-esteem, 85% of all third graders have strong self-esteem, tested out a strong self-esteem. In other words, they felt pretty good by themselves, about themselves. By junior high, that figure had dropped to 65%. Only 65% of all junior hires feel good about themselves, have good self-esteem. But when they tested in high school, by high school graduation, the seniors, only 5% registered high self-esteem. 5%. What's it saying? It's saying that the older our kids get, the worse they feel about themselves. Why? Because we are living in a society that is constantly tearing everything down. In a negative world where everything is, you can't do it, you are no good, you lower your values, your moral standards, then you're going to create guilt in your own life, and kids don't feel good about themselves. Yuri Bronfenbrenner of Cornell University says, America's families and their children are in trouble so deep and so pervasive as to threaten the future of our nation. The source of the trouble is nothing less than a national neglect of children and those primarily engaged in their care, the American parent. Our national rhetoric withstanding, in other words, all this talk about family values, the actual pattern of life in America today are such that children and families come last in our schedule. I come last. Now listen, the world is so negative, the last thing kids need when they come home is more negativity. First Colossians 3:21 says this, "Don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying." Let me ask you something. Are you an unpleasable parent? You know, it's so easy to look at the negative in your kid's life. Cup half full, half empty. What is it? What do you see? You know, if they get C's, you want B's. If they get B's, you want A's. If they get A's, you want straight A's. And finally, the Bible says, kids, just give up. Unpleasable parents produce insecure kids. How do you raise confident kids? Look at the next verse. If you love someone, you'll always believe in him and always expect the best. If you want to raise confident kids, you got to build them up more than you tear them down. You got to give more strokes than you give pokes. You got to give more cheers than you give jeers. Now, here's the thing. Many parents think, well, if I just balance it out, if I give an equal amount of positive to the negative, it'll be okay. No. You need to give about 10 praises for every negative you give. Why? Because the negative is what you remember. If you were to walk out on the patio out here and you were to get 10 compliments and one criticism, which one would you go home and remember? There's no question about it. Okay? If I get 10 cards from people say, Pastor Rick, that sermon really helped me a lot, and one of them said, you're off the wall, which one do you think I think about the most? It's just human nature. And so every time you give a negative, a correction, you need about 10 positives on the other side of the scale to balance that out because they are not equal. Does that make sense? You've got to overemphasize the positive, because you inevitably have to do the negative. Every child needs somebody in their corner, somebody who's their cheerleader, somebody who believes in them, who says, I know you can do it. I believe in you. I think you're terrific. You're the best. Go for it. I'm behind you. Yeah, I know you can make it. Kids need confidence. Number five, kids need celebration. Celebration. And what I'm saying here, that's just a fancy word for fun. Families ought to have fun. The home should be a place to play. Really. And this is a major fault in many, many homes where the parents are basically good parents. They're watching out for their kids. But you know what? You just don't have enough fun at home. You don't. You know why? You're too busy. And you come home with your to-do list after work's over, and all that stuff's got to be done, and you just don't have time for fun. Now, do you endure your kids, or do you enjoy them? Kids need celebration. Look at this verse. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives. Notice it says every day. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. Families ought to be fun. They really ought to be fun. You know, I have to be honest with you. My kids couldn't care less that I've written 4 books. It's no big deal to them. They're not impressed about the awards I win or the honors that I receive. What they want to know is this. Is Daddy fun? Is Daddy fun? And that's the thing that they're going to remember when they grow up. Daddy was fun. And I work at this. And we have at our house what we call Daddy's Magical Mystery Tours. Where periodically I just shake the whole schedule up and say, forget with routine, we're going to go have fun. And I have been known to wake up the kids in the middle of the night and put them in the car and go somewhere in the middle of the night and do something outrageous on a school night. And so what if they miss a day of school? They're going to remember that event. That's what they're going to remember. And they're going to remember the event that I've got them up real early in the morning and made them eat French toast that I colored green. And I could go on and on and on about the goofy things that I do with my kids. You have fun with them. You enjoy them. Because no single day of routine is going to make or break their life. But a single special event that is so wild and crazy and fun, kids will never forget. So we want everything to be as fun as possible. And since I want my kids to have a positive attitude toward the Lord and toward church, we make church as fun as possible. And we laugh. And we do things like, you know, we laugh at bulletin bloopers. In fact, we collect them. I thought I'd read a few of them to you today from our collection. These are actual bulletin bloopers. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Right? remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. Thursday, there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All wishing to become little mothers, please see the minister in his study. Actual announcements. This being Easter, we've asked Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. A bean supper will be held Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is hell?" Come early and listen to the choir practice. Yeah, right. This afternoon, there will be a meeting in the north and south ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. Tuesday at 4 p.m., there will be an ice cream social. All ladies giving milk, please come early. Well, Wednesday, the Ladies Literary Society will meet and Mrs. Johnson will sing "Put Me in My Little Bed," accompanied by the Reverend. On Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the expenses of a new carpet. All those wishing to do something on the carpet, please get a piece of paper. The service will close with little drops of water. One of the ladies will quietly start and the rest of the congregation will join in. And then often in our family, just for the fun of it, we do Bible quizzes. And we look for funny things in the Bible. For instance, verses like, why is it spiritual to be overweight? Leviticus 3:16 says, all the fat is the Lord's. What do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? Same middle name. How does a California Christian know when they've been sunburned? They die and go to heaven and God says, well done. Let me tell you something. If you're not having fun with your kids at home, you're not celebrating, don't be surprised if they don't want to spend time at home. And if you don't have fun with your kids and really enjoy them, don't be surprised when they grow up and move out that they don't want to come back very often. Because they won't remember it as a place of, boy, that's a place to go and have fun. That's a place to go and have fun. You need to not just endure your kids. You need to enjoy them. Number six, kids need challenges. They need experiences that stretch them, that reveal their talents, that expose their spiritual shape and develop that shape for ministry. They need challenges that are where they develop responsibility. You see, one of the most important life skills that all of us have to learn is how to be responsible. Now, how do you teach responsibility to your children? There's only one way, folks. Give them the opportunity. Trust them with responsibility. Nothing develops us faster. Nothing develops us faster. Nothing develops your kids faster than trusting them with responsibility. Giving them control. Will they make mistakes? Absolutely. You did too. Growing up, you did too. Will they sometimes be irresponsible when you give them responsibility? Yes, they will. But if you hold on to responsibility, you're actually hurting your children. Because the goal of parenting from the moment they're born is to move them from parent control in the early years to self-control in the middle years, to where they understand God's love and His plan for their life and move to God's control over their life. From parent control to self-control to God's control. That means you have to give up control. And from the moment they're born, you got to start working on that. Because only by giving it away, you see, when we take responsibility for people, we take it away from people. And if you treat your children as babies and you don't let them grow up. You'll have to diaper them the rest of your life, and you're filling the world with another codependent person. Howard Hendricks once said, after having talked to many parents, and I've done this too, I've found so many people who would say, if I had to do it all over again, I would do less for my children and make them do and teach them to do more for themselves. If I had to do it all over, I'd do less for my children and teach them to do more for themselves. Because the only way we grow is by being given challenges that stretch us, that develop us, that build responsibility in our lives. Luke 16 says this, "Whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with a lot. And if you can't be trusted with the things that belong to someone else, who will give you the things of your own?" Would you write this down next to this? Kids respond to responsibility. Kids respond to responsibility. And having talked with many parents over the year and seen this in my own life, I believe that it's far better to err. I really do. I believe it's far better to err on the side of giving too much responsibility than not trusting them enough. I really believe that. That it's better to err. You're going to make mistakes either way. But I think it's better to err on giving them too much, trusting them too much, rather than trusting them too little.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together, but first, I want to tell you about today's special opportunity. As Jesus made his way to Calvary on the road called Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian, since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place. Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. It will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover, and it's filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. By the way, for the next 4 days, anything you donate to this ministry will be doubled by a very generous Daily Hope listener, up to $25,000. So please contact us today to let us know how you would like to help. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Now today, a generous friend of Daily Hope is offering a $25,000 matching grant. Now let me explain this. $25,000 matching grant means that when you give, it doubles your donation. But here's the thing. I want you to pray about this. I appreciate your giving. Today, your gift can be doubled, but please hear me out. I only want you to give if you feel led by God to do so. Do not give under pressure, because God doesn't reward that kind of giving. So I want you to just pause and say, God, you want me to be a part of this giving today on the matching gift. You see, your financial generosity actually makes it possible for me to teach you and to teach other people all around the world. You know, the Daily Hope broadcast actually goes into refugee camps. Your support helps all these people in the refugee camps learn about Jesus and helps them to grow in their faith. So again, thanks everybody for your generosity. I love you, and I'm confident that God is going to use your donation to bring more people into the kingdom. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.